Welcome to worship, everyone. Today, if you have noticed, we are celebrating some of our folks, some of our members who were here in the 50s and the 60s.
Please join me in prayer. Dear God, you raise the day from night. You rule over distant seas. You watch as the planets spin. Even with all that, you also watch my eyelids blink. You also raise the song inside of us, and you rule every part of us. You are beyond everything else and above everything else, greater than life, more precious than perfect health. You're the finest friend we have. You are stronger than death. You speak and the waves obey, and yet you will whisper peace to us. You hold the skies in their place and hold our past, present, and future as well. You are God and there's no other. We will never give our praises to another. But my Lord, knowing all this, we still fall short of your glorious standard. We place things above you. We question your power. At times you cannot handle this control you have on us and have turned to our own ways. We hold on to who we are and never let our walls down and never let you change us. We long for comfort instead of obedience to you. We long for the world to hold our name in honor instead of yours. We push your words away to make room for our own voice. We are weary and sick with sin. But the blood of your Son offered us the chance to rewind back to innocence. Your cross changed everything. Our world began with that act. Your cross is where our hope restarts, and our sin and ugliness made beautiful. Inside this mess, you have given us forgiveness. At the cross, we have been given countless second chances. Our black skies of regrets are outshone by your kindness. So here we are now, broken at your feet. Every piece of who we are laid before you. Our souls are on their knees, bowing our life. Lord, words cannot express how grateful we are for what you have done. Eternity is far too short to sing your praises. And Lord, we know that one day death will be a memory, and there will be no more tears, and the shadows of this life will be gone. But until that day comes, Lord, we will pray, and we will wait, and we will die to ourselves daily and be a living sacrifice for you. And now we come to you with our requests. We pray for the Holy Week celebrations, that they help us remember the sacrifice you made. Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Pat Cooper. Comfort them with the assurance that she is in your everlasting arms. We pray for all who are suffering today, that you help them understand that you are with them and can make preciousness out of dust. Lord, we pray for all who have not received the gospel. Lord, we pray that we can express your kindness more. Lord, take us past the line that our hearts draw. Let us find delight in living out your dreams. Take us beyond the laziness of our thoughts. And dear Lord, give us the ability to abandon everything when you call. We pray that your dreams will come true through us. And as you have taught us, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The video that you're about to see leads into the message this morning. We had such fun making this video. Please remember that these are not all of the people. This is not a composite picture of all who were there at the inception of this church, but it represents folks who were willing to be interviewed, who felt well enough to be interviewed. And after the service, there are wonderful pictures in the back about some of the things these folks are talking about here. So listen and enjoy.
We came in 1960 and became members in 62.
In 63.
1960.
1963.
1961.
1954. I'm Marvis Eldridge. We attended the very first organizing meeting of the church. We saw a notice in the Cupertino Courier that it was going to happen at the Bucks House, the who lived in Rancho Encinitas. And we went with our daughter, who was 6 weeks old at the time. And that was the very beginning. We met there, I don't even know for how long. But then we were offered the use of the old Tata house on Calvert Avenue. It was an old farming house. And we were there until the parish hall, or which is now McCaddy Hall, was built.
My first memory of the church, we moved here, and my husband was establishing his orthodontic practice, and we were learning in the area. We drove down the street, and I said, oh, look at that cute church, right in the middle of a nice apricot orchard. And I looked more, and I said, whoa, it's Presbyterian. And we were both Presbyterian, so that just was meant to be. And it, you know, it satisfied us completely. We loved it from the moment we came.
When we came to San Jose, we visited many churches, and we just found West Valley Presbyterian Church a wonderful place to be.
We had moved from South Carolina, and we wanted a small church, and we drove by the what was the parish hall in those days, and we thought, gee, that's a little church, that'll be just the right size. And those days we had three services, and the parish hall was packed with people each service. I think it was 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. And we had a one-man greeting committee in those days by the name of Carol McCune.
I can remember Warren Bye and Carol McCune standing by the door, as you left every Sunday, greeting you and saying, ushering you out.
He was always there, and he was so welcoming, and he always called me gracious.
And when Carol moved away, I thought the church would fall down probably. It just couldn't manage without him. It was a very exciting time then, and it had a very warm way feeling about it, and you walked in, you felt good.
I did learn early the way to get involved in the church was to come to the work parties on Saturday mornings, and then I got to meet people, and just kind of like service worship today, when you get together, you meet a lot of people and get on a personal basis, and then you get to know them, and church is more friendly.
When I came here, everybody was probably in their 30s, maybe early 40s. We had 3, 4, 5 kids.
There were lots of kids, and ours fit right in. You know, we came with 4 children, and we didn't feel guilty at all.
God has worked through this church, because as this community has changed, our church has changed. When we came here, I described the congregation. Now I see still people that are in their 30s, 40s coming, where many of my friends are attending other churches, and the few people that go are as old as I am, and I'm 84. They're just going nowhere.
There's a level of excitement in the church now, too, that hasn't been there for a while. So I like seeing that. I sit on the patio quite a bit and see these people going, rushing here and rushing there, and I think that's great.
God is working here. And he's worked with us as this community has changed. We've managed to change and worked with him. And that's exciting.
I think there is a vitality and excitement here I haven't seen in a long time. And I see us really fulfilling the mission, making Christ, knowing Christ and making Christ known. We have so many different Bible studies now and things like that for educating ourselves. And we certainly have gone out into the community and made Christ known. So I just think we have a great future.
And the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Well, Well, as you saw in that excellent video, which, by the way, Trevor Walker put together, so thank you, Trevor, for wherever you are, for doing a great job on that. Where are you? Oh, yeah, you're back here. You're one of those, right? Thanks. All right. Again, this is the 60th anniversary year of West Valley Presbyterian Church. And so in the first Sunday in May, we're going to be doing remembering the late 60s, 70s and 80s, that era. So if any of you have stories you want to tell, and then there'll be a Sunday in June where we do it from the 90s to the current time. So that's the plan, and it's just a joy to hear the stories. It's been such a rich and fun experience up to this point. You know, we had to edit out a lot of good stuff that was said in those interviews to help it to fit into the service. But go to those who have carnations and name tags this morning and ask them to tell you a story, because they're full of wonderful stories, these folks, and we want to keep those stories alive. And I got to thinking how in our society we worship youth, you know, not age. We have articles and websites on anti-aging gels and creams and supplements. And, you know, and then we get to a certain age and we don't want anyone to ask us how long we've been on this planet. It's a secret or scary or freakish to think about. But the Bible is pro-aging. Just want you to know that. In Leviticus 19:32, it says, "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord." The word elder is used in the Bible 175 times. And particularly in the Old Testament, it talks about how years can bring a maturity and a wisdom that we can all learn from. In other words, those who have lived the longest can be mentors and guides to the young, and that's the way it worked in biblical times. And you saw up here the children just listening to Edith, right? They were enraptured by what she said. Another scripture that's really cool I want to share with you. Listen to this. Nate, maybe you've never heard this scripture before. It's from Leviticus 27:1-2. It says this: "If anyone makes a special vow to dedicate persons to the Lord by giving equivalent value," and that was a special kind of sacrifice that was offered at that time, "let the amount be set of a male between the ages of 20 and 60 at 50 shekels of silver. But if it's a person 60 years or more, let the value be at 15 shekels. Meaning that the idea of a senior discount is in the Bible. You didn't know that, did you? It's right in the text. So if that isn't pro-age, I don't know what is. So the Bible doesn't make a secret of people's ages. Old age is viewed as a prize. It says of Abraham died at a good old age, an old man full of years. And as I said, the old people got, the older people got, the more respected they were. Again, in a special book that was used by the rabbis back then, it says, "How welcome is old age. The aged are beloved by God." So we don't just stand here as a church today because you decided to show up this morning. We stand on a rich history made up of the hard work and effort and prayers of those in our congregation who began a good work here at West Valley years ago, who laid a firm foundation both biblically and spiritually, as well as building a literal foundation, right, of bricks and mortar. And this rich history is made up of people who want to see this continue. And there it is. So I just want to highlight a few of these people this morning. I'm not going to mention all of them, but just a few. And I have to start with Marvis and Don Eldridge. And you saw Marvis speak on the video there. They were founding members of this church, organized in 1954 in a house. And then in 1956, they broke ground for what we call today McCaddy Hall. Back then it was the Parish Hall, which was the original place of worship. That was the sanctuary back then. And then the groundbreaking for this sanctuary was in 1965. And Carol McCune didn't feel quite well enough to be interviewed at the time that we did it, but he was in charge of the building of this sanctuary. And he told me that he built this sanctuary so that all of the steps would lead up to the cross here. So he did it because he wanted Christ to be central here in this place. And he wanted Jesus to be at the forefront. So all the steps, if you stand in the courtyard and you look up, it all goes up to the cross. So Marvis then, once this sanctuary was open, played the organ. You can see pictures of her doing that in the back. And Dawn was this incredibly generous person. He had the biggest heart for folks, and he tirelessly helped people in need, the homeless, the hurting, the desperate, and that's still our MO today, isn't it? It's in our DNA to do that. That's why I think service worship started here in this church, because of Don's heart, that he was one of the first people who had that heart for people and taught us all how to do that. This week, I got to visit with Sterling and Melba Swanson. Are you here, Sterling? Because we didn't really, I don't know. He said he might be able to come. I guess he wasn't able to make it. But I found out that it was Sterling who put together the organizational plans that the deacons now use. He said he was concerned because nobody was being visited in the church. So he said, I got out my map, and I figured out where all the people lived, and then I clustered them together, and I gave them each a deacon. And that's the same system that we're using today. So when you go out afterwards and get a strawberry and meet your deacon, that's your deacon because of what Sterling Swanson did years ago, getting out a map, organizing a system, and making it happen because he cared about people. Another story, Lorraine Mancebo, you saw Lorraine and Tom on the video up there. They felt called to reach out to people and build relationships and invite folks to church. And I believe the directories are out there. Lorraine, you had 6 children, and they don't even fit in that little square, barely. They were spilling out of the photo that was in the church directory, so I have no idea how you had time to reach out to folks in the neighborhood like you did. But she wanted to do this, and she didn't know how to break the ice with new folks. So one of the things she did, she prayed about, and she figured it out. She'd go to people, and she'd say, you know, I have so many vegetables. Would you like some? Because I have more than I can ever use. I don't know what to do with them all. And she told me it broke the ice. And she began to form relationships with people, and people would come to church. And she did a great job on outreach that way. Many people came because of that. Amazing service and amazing dedication. And Betty Rager also shared, and she did more than listen to Pat Moore talk in the video there. She shared about being involved in Boutique, the wonderful fellowship that was there. And Betty Rager had an amazing voice, as I understand. She used to sing in the choir all the time. So you can talk to her about that after the service. I'm sure she'd, maybe she'd even sing something for her. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. Okay, I didn't say that. But the other thing about these folks that I learned just by talking with them for the past couple of weeks is that they didn't give up on the church when times were hard. They had a level of commitment and resilience that I think we've somehow lost in our current culture that kept them serving and engaging and praying even when challenges came. One slight challenge was that the church was in a muddy field, and people couldn't even walk in the doors over here without putting down planks. So that every Sunday they put down planks, and they make it in the door so they could come in and worship mud-free. Another challenge was that people weren't always particularly friendly. They stayed in their groups of friends. We still have that trouble today. We're trying to break out of that and talk to folks we don't know and welcome everyone in. But even back then, people weren't all that friendly. And again, Lorraine told me that she came here for 2 years in the beginning, and no one talked to her. She came alone because Tom wasn't a Christian yet, her husband. I have no idea what that looks like, what you look like when you're not a Christian, because, you know, as far as I know, you've been a Christian from the beginning. So you can talk to folks about what you look like before you were a Christian. Anyway, Tom is an amazing saint of the church. He prays for you on Tuesday mornings. He's one of the most faithful ones. He comes, and he's incredible. But Lorraine came alone because Tom wasn't a Christian yet. And she told me that actually if it hadn't been for Carol McCune welcoming her at the door, and you heard about that welcome, didn't you, in the video, that she probably wouldn't have stayed. But it's because Carol welcomed her with such warmth and such kindness that she hung in here for 2 years. And then Tom met Jesus and started coming. We're so glad you did. But folks, never underestimate the value of a warm greeting, right, coming from a genuine heart. And it got me thinking, you know, what if people who came here to this church knew that when they walked in the door, they would be welcomed so incredibly, that they would be surrounded by amazing grace and the love of God. A lot of people walk in those doors for the first time. First of all, it's very hard to walk into a church for the first time new. And then they walk in, most of them feel judged or not good enough. And what if they came that Sunday feeling judged and not good enough, and they left feeling, this is the most loving place on earth. I feel so loved. I feel so greeted. I feel so embraced. Maybe God does love me. Maybe there is a God. What if new people came in that door? We just loved on them. How about that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's why Lorraine is here. It, Carol's greeting. And that's what the church is meant to be. And what if we made that just a goal for a year? I was thinking, what if we decided we were going to train ourselves to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and become an amazing church that welcomes people with open arms, and we learn how to do that? Wouldn't that be an awesome goal for a year? Just work on that one thing. But there were even harder challenges back then that loomed larger than mud and some unfriendliness. Some of those challenges involved pastors who were forced to leave and politics that could have destroyed the church. But these folks didn't throw in the towel and say, whoops, this isn't meeting my needs, I'm going somewhere else now. And they didn't say, I'm going to vote with my feet because I disagree here, I don't like what they're doing over here or there. These folks were committed, and they prayed, and they continued to serve with all of their hearts. And they trusted God because they knew He would bring them through no matter what. As Paul Harkin said, he said, at the right time, at a very difficult place in the church's history he was referring to, God brought us just the right pastor back then. He described this pastor as humble and unassuming, and he had one message, and it was this: love one another. And he said that message saved our church. The message saved our church. It was an answer to prayer. So friends, today we stand on the broad shoulders of these folks, and it's because of their faith and their work and the fact that they didn't give up that we can be the church we are today. No church survives the test of time without going through its challenges. And after you've lived a while, you learn that when you stand firm and you're faithful and you pray without ceasing, God comes through every time. These are the people that I go to when I know I need prayer. I know that these people love this church and love the Lord with all their heart. They've invested themselves here, time, talent, and treasure. And I also know that these folks don't get scared when challenges come. They just pray a little harder, do what they can, and wait on the Lord because they've lived long enough not to panic, but to pray instead. The thing that came through most frequently when we asked these folks about what inspired them most as they look to the future was the energy and the life and the young people that they see here now. They love seeing children. They love seeing the youth and the programming that is happening all over this place and people being excited about service, like service worship, and being excited about their faith. They feel that this energy will propel the church forward in a wonderful way to continue to share the gospel. And it reminded me of this scripture. From Psalm 71, it says, since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, until I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. And to all of those folks, let me tell you, it's because of your efforts that we have children over there in Sunday school right now, learning about the love of Jesus. It's because of your efforts that a whole new generation of youth are learning about the Lord, where they go on houseboats and every year two or three people dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ. It's because of your efforts that somebody sat in my office this past week and said, I found Jesus here. The 30-year-old. A whole new generation needing Jesus and finding him here at West Valley Presbyterian Church. So thank you. Thank you for what you've done. You have indeed declared God's power to the next generation. So again, folks, take some time after the service. Talk to these folks after church today. And if you're a younger Bible study, maybe you want to invite one of them to come and talk to you. Share their wisdom with you. We all need to tap into these stories and this wisdom while we can. There's this poignant phrase in Scripture as Jesus prepares to have his last supper with his disciples, which we're going to celebrate now together. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, 1, and it says this. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus finished well. He loved his quarrelsome, difficult, unenlightened, but good-hearted, inquiring disciples to the end. And he hung in there with them, and he loved them, and he served them, and he prayed for them. It wasn't easy at that Last Supper to face the cross and leave his friends behind. These were friends that he had mentored and cared for and taught. But Jesus knew that all that he had taught the disciples in word and example now lived in them. And that's why he told them to remember. Remember me even when I'm gone. Because you're going to be the foundation of my church. That's what the disciples ended up doing. Because what I have taught you is alive in you. Remember that I told you to love one another. Remember that no sacrifice is too great for the kingdom of God. Remember how I've tackled challenges, prayed hard, and remained faithful and invested myself fully in what God wanted me to do. Remember how I have lived and who I have been. Learn from that and go and do likewise and build my church. So may God grant us all the ability to be like Jesus, to be faithful in our lives, and to finish well and be the church for the next generation. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we stand on the shoulders of the apostles and the prophets and those saints here in our midst who help build this church. We thank you for your Holy Spirit working through them to establish your purposes here on earth, to help folks see the wonders of your grace. And Lord, as we participate now in the Lord's Supper, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon us, that we might also follow you and hang in there and not give up, and know that because we are part of your body, the church, you have called us to invest. You have called us to witness. You have called us to point the way. And we ask, Lord, that you, as we take these elements of bread and juice, you would set them apart from a common to a sacred use, that as we partake, we might feel your presence and be empowered to do likewise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it, because as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." Ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. all of you who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior are welcome to participate in this meal. The blood of Christ shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us drink together. Amen. May that be your story as you go forth from this place, knowing that Jesus goes with you, knowing that He will be faithful to you, whatever you're going through this morning or through the week, or if you're in a hard patch in your life right now, know that He is with you and that He is faithful. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forever. Amen.